Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Happy Mother's Day! You know what? Would all of the mothers in the house please stand up? We want to just honor you for thank you for changing all those diapers we didn't see in the middle of the night, taking those middle of the night phone calls, cleaning all those rooms we thought stayed clean on their own somehow. Thank you for loving us, even when we weren't so lovable. And everybody in the house said amen.
Amen.
You know, the weird thing about it is I noticed that only the women stood up for Mother's Day. Isn't that so weird, right? That's so interesting because as we get into the message, we're going to actually find out that men are called to be mothers as well. But that's in the spirit. Everybody say in the spirit.
In the spirit.
In the natural, it goes something like this. A little boy named Johnny goes up to his dad and he says, "Dad, do you know the difference between a pack of cookies and a pack of dinosaurs?" And he said, "No, son, what's the difference?" He said, "Thank God Mom does the grocery shopping." Johnny goes to Sunday school and his teacher says, "Johnny, do you do your prayers before you eat your meal?" He said, "No, my mom's a good cook." There's a lot of value to moms. A mom is a person who can sit down at a table, and it's her favorite kind of pie. Mine is blackberry. If y'all want to get cooking, that's what I like. She sees there's four pieces of blackberry pie, five people. She looks at the pie, looks at the people, and says, "Y'all have that. I never did like pie anyway." Everybody say, "Aw." Say, "Thanks, Mom." Which is different than a pregnant woman who sees four pieces of pie, five people, eats all the pie, and blames it on the baby. Right? So what you might not have thought about is that ladies, young ladies, all the single ladies, gentlemen, grandparents, and that 350-pound biker with all the tats back there who's looking at me funny. Hi. Everybody's looking, is there really a guy back there? I made him up. Every single one of us is called to be a mother. Why do you say that? I say that because every single one of us are called to give birth. Not to natural children, but to give birth to our dreams, give birth to our destinies, to give birth to those things that God has called us to do. And I want to talk right now to the folks who especially think that they might be in a barren place in their life, maybe incapable of giving birth. Maybe, "Well, my time, I'm older, my time for dreams is over." Maybe caught in a humdrum job and they don't know how to get out of it, or they've started a new business and no clients are coming. Maybe somebody who's been fighting addiction over and over again, somebody who just can't seem to find their soulmate, or somebody who's trying to conceive naturally, or somebody who's stuck in this place financially. I want to talk to each and every person who is stuck in their life in a place that may look barren, may look desolate, may look like there's no dream to be birthed here, and I want to say directly to you this morning, there is a dream and a destiny for you that God has not yet brought to pass in your life. But these steps of faith we're going to share this morning, I am positive that there's going to be a moment of conception that happens for you on this very day. You're going to leave here pregnant, and you're going to go give birth to a dream. So right now, I want you to look at your neighbor and say, "I thought you had a bump." I'm making y'all fight today, aren't I? Happy Mother's Day. I'm going to start in Psalm 113. And in Psalm 113, verse 9, it says, "He makes the barren woman." And actually, if you read Matthew Henry's commentary, if you read some different commentaries on this, God is not speaking directly to women in this particular moment. He's actually speaking to the situation. Everybody say the situation. And if you wanted to know how woman got her name, Adam was responsible for naming everything in the garden. He was created first, gave up his rib. God created one, or God created female. He put it in front of Adam and said, "Name this right here." And he said, "Whoa, man." And it stuck. Because it's all about that bass. Isn't that true? Anyway, he makes the barren woman to be a homemaker and a joyful mother of spiritual children. Praise the Lord. Here's the stretch that I have for some of you gentlemen, grandparents, folks who think you're not in a place of birthing today. The stretch I have for you, especially guys, is when you take a step of faith, you have to step out into a place where you're not comfortable. Faith never looks comfortable. Faith never looks secure. So we're going to go ahead and just take our first step of faith this morning. And guys, we're going to borrow a line from Shania Twain. It goes like this. Man, I feel like a woman. And you're going to have your chance to say that to me when I count to three. Are you ready in the house, guys?
Yes.
Come on, you ready to take a step of faith? It's Mother's Day. You show that woman of yours just how tough you are. You can handle this. You ain't scared of pink. It don't bite. Not you, because you're made of bulletproof metal. Are you ready? One, two, three. Man, I feel like a woman. Nice work, ladies. Give it up for your men and how brave they are. Why did you do that? Because we have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. There is nothing at all comfortable about the birthing process. You see, once you do conceive, it's all okay for a minute. You actually get excited about buying some of the maternity clothes and you think they're cute until you actually have to start wearing them because it's required. And you think it's going to be fun to walk pregnant until you start walking pregnant. And you think it's going to be great until everything on your body swells, including your wrists, your ankles, your fingers, and your hair. Your hair swells when you're pregnant. Nothing is the same. You can't get comfortable. You can't sleep at night. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable if you're going to step into this destiny that God has for you. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Woo! I like y'all. You know, there were several very important barren women in the Bible who ended up giving birth to great, great people of great influence. And we're going to follow one of them today. We're going to follow Hannah. And the story is in 1 Samuel 1. And in 1 Samuel 1, it tells the story of Hannah and her husband. And they were married for what they say is probably about 10 years. Because back in the Bible times, you could be married for 10 years and not have children. But after 10 years, if you did not have children, they expected you to take a second wife so that you could pass on your inheritance and your posterity and all these great things. To me, that sounds like a sentence straight out of prison. I can't imagine everything that Pastor David has to do to take care of me by myself. If he was expected to take care of two women, and the fact that I would try and kill her when he wasn't looking. I cannot imagine the fights, the wars, the craziness that happened in these homes in Bible times. And I'm not even just making this up. If you go to 1 Samuel 1:6, it says, but her rival wife, we're talking about Hannah. So the rival wife is this woman named Peninnah. The husband marries the second wife, and she starts having children, popping out babies like everything. So Hannah's feeling like a failure, like a rejection, like she doesn't count. And the rival wife, it says, the rival wife is just, well, let's find out what she's doing. It says, but her rival wife taunted her cruelly, rubbing it in and never letting her forget that God had not given her children. This went on year after year. Every time she went to the sanctuary of God, she could expect to be taunted. Hannah was reduced to tears and had no appetite. You see, once a year they took a trip, a holy trip, and they would bring their offerings to God and get with the priest. And on this trip, oh man, then Peninnah would really rub it in her face. Do you have anybody in your life that has been rubbing it in your face that you're not yet living your dream? Does this ring a bell of familiarity with anybody? Well, she's wrought with jealousy. She's wrought with comparison. She's really upset, and she's trying to walk through this place. So we want to see what it took for Hannah to get from there to her place of blessing. And I don't know if you've ever struggled to get anything. We actually struggled to get pregnant with Ashton. We were on a 5-year plan. Austin was 7 years old, and we got married. And so we thought, let's wait 5 years to have a baby so he'll be old enough to babysit. Y'all already know that didn't work out. So at the end of the 5 years, we're ready. I mean, we've been waiting for this day on the calendar to come. And we go and we start deciding we're going to have a baby. And right about that time, we got some news that I had cervical cancer. And when you have cervical cancer, you can't get pregnant. And they want me to go through these procedures that they say I won't be able to carry a baby. So we walked through this whole thing for about 18 months past our date of wanting to get pregnant. They finally give us the thumbs up. They finally give us the go ahead. And we decide, okay, it's time. Month one goes by, month two goes by, month three goes by, month four goes by, month five goes by, and still no baby. You know, it got to the point where every month while we were trying to figure out if we were going to have a baby or not, I started not looking forward to that moment of finding out because I felt like that moment almost smacked me in the face every month. And I find it interesting that the key to your blessing is finding out that something is missing and something is late. You know, in life, we don't want anything taken away from us. We don't want anything subtracted from our life. But to actually get from our barren place to our place of blessing, sometimes something has to go away. And so it's that thing that had to go away that I was actually looking for. So if you're in the process of something being taken out of your life right now, you might just go ahead and think to yourself, I don't know if I like that thing, but that might actually be a step from me being barren to my blessing. So if we go back and we follow Hannah. And Hannah, the first thing that she did in verse 10, Hannah's in the place of God. Peninnah's rubbing her face in it. She doesn't know how to handle it. And the first thing she did, it says in verse 10, Hannah was in distress of soul and praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. Praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. The first thing she did was pray. Everybody say, pray.
Pray.
You know, the temptation in the morning is to somehow get distracted from your prayer time. How many of you intend to get up in the morning and pray? That's like your plan. You go to bed, you're like, I'm gonna get up in the morning and pray. And the Catholic people, they get up in the morning, do this, kneel by their bed. Oh, y'all know what this is? Stuttering priest. So we intend to get up in the morning and pray. So we get up and we're like, Dear Father, I just wanna come to you this morning just with all my praise. And I just wanna say thank you for being so ding. Your phone, excuse me, I got to take this. I'm looking for some information. Oh, my brother wants to come over at 6. Oh, 6 doesn't work. Come over at 6:30. Okay, sorry, God, where were we? So I just wanted to say thank you, God. I just ask you to bless my family. Ding! Oh, excuse me, 6:30 doesn't work. How about 7? Well, 7 doesn't work. We're going to eat too late. You got to be here by 6:30. So anyway, God, what I was saying is bless my family, bless my finances. Ding! Well, if I can't come over then, look, brother, if you just can't even get along with me, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm going to Facebook about how destroying my brother is to our family. And then you get on Facebook and you go ahead and venture stuff on Facebook and talk about how upset you are. And then while you're on Facebook, you see that somebody else that's a friend of yours said something about you and you just got to respond to that. Or I just need to encourage them. And we get all busy. And suddenly you look up at the clock, you're running late for work, and now you got to rush to take a shower. Oh, it is so quiet in this Presbyterian church today. I did not realize y'all had been sainted. That's how it goes, isn't it? We intend, but that time is stolen. The enemy is after that time specifically for one reason, because it is the major key to going from bearing to birthing. I tell you what, if we want to get out of that barren place, we've got to defend that time like it is a fortress and know this is the most important 15 minutes, 5 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever it is for you, this is the most important time of my day. And let's reframe our thinking around that. If the president made an appointment with you every morning for 15 minutes from 7 to 7:15, and he walked in the room, would you go ahead and set your phone aside while the president was speaking to you, or would you text while he was talking to you? No, we would go ahead and pay attention to him. Dear Mr. President, how can I help you today? Thank you for talking to me, Mr. President. You know, is there anything you can do for me? Is there anything you want to tell me? We would want to be available to the president, right? We're not talking about being available for the president for a few minutes of our day. We're talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the Universe, the Creator of all. So rephrasing it like the most important appointment of our day might help us get to that first step, which is pray. What's the first step?
Pray.
Pray. So the first thing Hannah did is she prayed. And in the next verse, it says, and she vowed, saying, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and remember and not forget, your handmaid will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all of his life. The second thing she did is she made a vow. Now, I have made vows before. I fasted, and I remember, so I started fasting a lot there for a while, but several months ago, before I got at the beginning of it, I kind of went on one of my first fasts, and I was fasting desserts. I hadn't told anybody. It was the first day of my fast, and David wanted to go on for a ride. So we jump in the car, and he just starts driving around, around, kind of got to a part of town we're not in a lot. I said, "Where are we going?" And about that time, he pulls into Ted Drew's. We never go to Ted Drew's. I need to try and make the people in Florida understand Ted Drew's is like heaven on earth. It's unbelievable. So all the family orders their ice cream and they're doing their thing and they're like, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Oh no, I'm not gonna have anything." He's like, "What are you dieting?" I'm like, "No, the word diet is on that word. I don't wanna do that." And he's like, "Are you sure?" "Yeah, I'm sure, I don't want anything." So he's eating his ice cream. He feels so bad about it. I'm telling you, this is the honest truth. He takes a bite of the ice cream and he starts airplaning it to my mouth with all of the appropriate noises. "Come here, baby, I'm gonna give you some ice cream. Bzz, here it comes to you." I'm going, and he puts the ice cream in my mouth. "I just wanna tell you right now, Ted Drew's is like crack. You get one bite of this stuff and you just start shaking and you're like, how do I get more?" So he's like, "Here we go, one more for you." And I'm like, "Come on." And I'm like, "You know what? I'm going to go ahead and get me one of these." And I'm just walking, going up to the front praying, "Hey, dear God, I'm going to start that fast tomorrow. I'll stay on 2 days at the end. You're getting double for your trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll take a tiramisu." I broke my vow. I broke my vow. Well, I vowed not to eat ice cream. Hannah vowed to give away her baby. So to take the enormity of that, let's just think about the fact that this baby is not 13 years old in its teenage years when we all want to give away our babies. This child is the one she's been waiting for 19 years. Now let's think back to the birthing room. Do you remember when you were in the birthing room or with someone or the husband, you were there and the woman is giving birth and she's like, "Oh my God, I hate you. Don't ever do this again. Don't you come near me ever again. Oh my God, don't leave me. Stay, stay, stay." She's an emotional mess. She goes from saint to demon in 2.2 seconds until that baby comes out. And then all she wants is, "Give me that baby. That's my baby. That's my treasure. Oh, give me that." That's the feeling in the moment. And yet she says, "I will give it away for all of his days." That's a huge vow. I ate ice cream on day one. It's a vow. But I'm telling you, vows to God work. I'm thinking of a businessman here at Faith Church right now. He had started several businesses and they were successful. And he said, "I'm going to start another business. And here's the difference. This business, I'm going to tithe off of my business, and I'm making this a vow." Well, this business wasn't even open yet, and for 3 months, no doors open, nobody answering phone, nobody at the office, the business brought in $30,000 a month for 3 months in a row before the business even opened. I'm telling you, God honors a vow to him. Actually, my theory on the matter is God's like, "Oh, you're going to tithe to me. Well, let me just make you know that you're not going to lose anything by doing that. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to preload all that tithe money right into your business. So the first $90,000 that you end up tithing, you're not going to lose anything because you got that before you even open." We serve a God that when you honor him, oh man, he honors you so good. So you would think Hannah would possibly be losing something, but Hannah knows how good our God is. So the next thing that she does, in the next verse, verse 12, it says, "As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli noticed only her mouth." Only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. I think it was like one of those bad Chinese movies with the volume turned down. So Eli thought she was drunk. He said to her, "How long are you going to be intoxicated? Put wine away from you." So here she is in the house of God, and she's being ridiculed by the priest. You know, people will challenge your press and your focus and your determination, and sometimes even your very dream will press on you. The inner me will press on you, saying that you can't make it to this place that you're called to go. And I want to say, don't get lost in that challenge, and don't let that challenge cause you to quit. Don't let that challenge cause you to give up. Don't let that challenge cause you to abort your dream. This dream is too precious for you to allow someone to make you lose your dream. Look at your neighbor right now and say, I'm not aborting my dream. And she was so upset. She was praying.
And you couldn't understand what she was saying? I just wonder if you ever prayed. And it was words that people didn't understand. You didn't even necessarily understand. You're just like, oh God, I don't want that man in my heart. I so many little people in the crazy.
Anybody ever prayed a prayer like that? You know what the wild thing about your father is? He understands his children's language the way only a parent can understand your language. Those groanings and those utterings that maybe you don't even understand, it's like a toddler and a mama. Have you ever been looking at a toddler and the toddler comes up to you and they're like, and you're like, and you look at the mom panicked and she's like, he likes the blue and the red car. He likes the blue car best, but he wants to share it with you. And you're like, oh, of course, that's what that meant. God, your father, is like that with you. And as you're communicating about your dream, as you're carrying this child, sometimes words will come out and they won't be fully formed or even understandable. But God knows your heart and your vow. And when you pray and when you're pressed and you continue praying, your God is on your side. He's gone before you. He's letting no weapon formed against you prosper. He's going and clearing a way where there is no way, because he doesn't want your blessing to be lost. Speaking of losing blessings, I have lost my blessing before. We were in, I think it was Macy's, and Ashton was about 3. And I was just, you know, I was doing this, and I had her hand, and I saw something I liked, so I let go of her for like 5 seconds in a row, looked at it, thought, put it back, and went, and she was gone. Has this ever happened to anybody? David was in the store too, and I did not want to admit that I had lost our precious child. So I go looking for about 5 minutes by myself. Ashton, where are you at? Ashton. About 5 minutes later, I have to get David involved. About 5 minutes after that, we got to get the sales lady involved. Now it's like a manhunt. Ashton. They're on the intercom. Ashton Crank, would you please come to customer service? I'm like, she's 3. She can't read the signs. Takes us about 15, 20 minutes to find this little 3-year-old who cannot manage to be quiet for 2 minutes in a row at home, is hiding in the middle of one of the clothing rounders playing the best game of hide and go seek ever, cracking up that we can't find her. I mean, there have been times in my life that I wanted to lose my child and she wouldn't get lost, so I hid for a minute. But I never truly wanted to lose my child. And I never want you to lose your dream. So when the press comes, when the pain comes, when it gets hard, don't give up. Look at your neighbor and say, don't give up. So in case you're wondering about when you should get an epidural when you're having a baby, the best time is to get an epidural when you're pregnant. And the best time to take it out is after your child has gotten married. And all the parents in the house said, amen. So the next thing Hannah did was go in peace and obey. What does that mean? Well, Eli said to her, after he pressed on her, after she wouldn't give up, after she made a vow to God, and even with the press, she continued praying, then the man of God says to her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. Hannah said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So she went her way and ate. Her countenance was no longer sad. You see, we have a choice that we have to make. Moms, dads, grandmas, students, you think right now that this you're not qualified, and I'm here to tell you right now, I'm speaking to you. You have a choice to make. The birth of your dream will only happen if you allow God to get you pregnant with the dream that he wants. You see, my theory is that Hannah, if she had had a child earlier, she wouldn't have been willing to give the child up to God for all of his days. And you see, this child that Hannah was having was so special, was so important. God needed Samuel. Samuel was a prophet that heard from him. Samuel was a major prophet in the Bible. Samuel's the one who chose Saul as king. Samuel's the one that chose David as king. Samuel's the one that helped guide David's life and guide all of Israel in its infancy stages of a nation. Samuel was so important that God couldn't mess it up by answering Hannah's prayer too early, because she might have kept him. I'm telling you right now, your dream might be so big. Your dream might be so important. You might think it's a little thing, but really you're having a 15-pound baby. You didn't know it was this big. You see, Isaac in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Isaac's mother was barren. John the Baptist, who came and he declared Jesus was the Savior, he was the Lord, he was born of a barren woman. Samson, the Nazarite with the long hair, the strong man in the Bible, he was born of a barren woman. Joseph, the coat of many colors, the one who saved all of Israel in famine, the one who was second to Pharaoh, he was born of a barren woman. You see, you might think you're barren, but God might just be making sure that you have this baby at the right time so it's lined up so the blessing can happen exactly the way that it needs to happen in your life. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you must be having a big baby. Which reminds me, do you know what the difference between a model and a 9-month pregnant woman is? Nothing if you know what's good for you. New parents or people not having kids, I'm going to write that down. So as I'm getting ready to close here in just a couple of minutes, the fifth thing, Hannah, verse 20. Hannah became pregnant, and in due time, she bore a son and named him Samuel, because she said, I have asked of the Lord, and he has given me. Right now, I want you to say, I'm due. I want you to know that when you ask of the Lord, he gives to you. And she gives, Hannah goes on to give Samuel to God all of her days. But I want you to know, just because God didn't take, she offered, she gave. Just because she gave Samuel up, she didn't come out with less, she came out with more. In verse 21, and Hannah visited, the Lord visited Hannah. She bore 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. I want you to know this. When that man vowed to give a tithe of his business, when you vow to do a thing for God, when she vowed to give God her child, I think it would have worked out this way. She got Samuel, and she could have kept Samuel, and that might have been the only thing she ever had. But she got Samuel, and she gave Samuel, and she got 5 more children. And I find it interesting that 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. I think she was gonna have 1, but God graced her with 5 more. And that's just the way that our God is. And I can think of a couple of folks in our church. They were a couple, they were getting ready to start a new business. And as they were starting the business, they felt pretty comfortable about him quitting his job because she had this great corporate job. So he quits his job, he starts the business, and within just like 90 days of starting the business, she gets laid off from her corporate job. This is a big deal. They're talking financial ruin in their life. So they pray, they vow to God, they're gonna tithe off the business. They have no income coming in for the business. They're gonna tithe off the business. They have no income. They can't pay their own bills. They continue praying in the press. And within 14 months, everybody say 14 months, they were so busy, they had to add 200% office space. They had started a 2nd division in their company because they were growing so fast, and they became the world record holder. They were leading the entire world, not the nation, not the state, but the world in sales all over the entire world. They were successful beyond their own imagination and their own dream. And I'm here to tell you that was a few years ago, and it wasn't a momentary blip. They've continued to hold that number one spot, and I don't know if their company is 3 or 4 or 5 years old, but I'm here to tell you their company is stronger than ever. And now they are flying them to other countries to find out how they are running their business, this business that they vowed to God, this business that came out of a barren place, this business that looked like it was in a press, this business that continued to put God first, and that God has continued to bless to make all of the nations know, this is what I can do when someone will serve me with their heart and believe me for great things. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you. Would you raise your hand, whether you're online, on television, in the room, if you want me to pray for a barren place in your life, for you to give birth to the dream. Father, with almost every hand raised, and Father, you can see hands that I can't even see, and you don't only see them, God, you recognize them and you latch onto them. And right now, God, I say with our hands open and our hands toward heaven, God, I pray that you pour out encouragement, you pour out direction, you pour out wisdom, you pour out your knowledge, you pour out your favor, you pour out breakthrough, you pour out opportunities, that you start opening doors that no man can open, God, and you block off directions that we're not going to go or not supposed to go, so we're not tempted to make a false turn. And God, as we honor you and as we give and fulfill our vow to you, God, I declare blessing and breakthrough and increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We open up.